you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with us to the 17th chapter of Luke. We're going to start reading from the 11th verse tonight. And it says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, which he saw that was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith had made thee whole." We begin to read this in the Word, and you read about how Jesus was passing through this area between Samaria and Galilee, and this path that he was going through was about the best route to Jerusalem. When you read about this time that he was walking through this, there was a turmoil between Samaritans and Jews. And in the day that we live in, how easy that it is in our lives to rage within ourselves of our own self, our own flesh, our own troubles, our own torments, and how life in a very quick way can pull us away from where God wants us to be. And I began to read about this and how he came into this village, and you read about the lepers, and we've read about this before, and I've heard this preached before, and as I begin to read this, God began to show me something that I had never saw before. And in our lives, when we get into a place where we feel like that we're far away from God, there's something that you read about leprosy that's very common about it. When you read about leprosy in that time, that everybody that was considered unclean had to be away from towns, had to be away from people, had to be away from common society. They had to be moved out of everything because they thought they were contagious. And if you even got as much as a breath from somebody, it was going to make you sick. And so when you read about this at the time, and he was passing through this way, and he come across these people, and he met them before he ever got to the village. And I'm thinking, God, how many times, Lord, if I could just get in a place, Lord, where if I didn't care about making sure that I got to a certain place or a certain time, but if I was just able to get to you and cry out before you. And they were even taking a risk trying to get to where Jesus was at this time. And I think about how much sin is raging in the day that we live in. And I think about how easy that it is to stray away from where God wants us to be. And how then in our minds that it is the warfare that we fight with each and every day, and how that the devil, even in this very place, is trying to rage within this church, and how I've recognized that even in my own mind, and how it's very easy to stray away in your own desires, and how we can get caught up in how we feel and what we know and our own opinions and our own outlooks and perspectives, and how we'll come in with our own attitude about church, and how we come in with our own ideals about church. And I felt, God, help me, Lord, to get to where you want me to be. God, I thought, Lord, there's no lower place that you could be than a leper. God, there's no lower place that you could be than being so unclean that nobody would have anything to do with you. But if we're not careful in our own lives, we'll get to a place where sin will corrupt us so much that we'll stray away from where God wants us to be, and we'll have to get back to where we come back to our Savior and cry out for help. It says they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They were at a distance from Jesus, so they had to lift up their voices together. They had to cry out together because they were desperate for help. Everybody else that would have tried to even help them had discarded them and pushed them away. And how I felt like that at times, and things that I go through, and how the devil will whisper things in your own mind and try to persuade you that you have no help, that you have nobody that understands, nobody that'll care about what it is that you walk through in your life. How Satan is working that way in the hearts and minds of people in the day that we live in. I've never seen it run so quick and so fast through all of the people that I've seen each and every day. It's running through families. It's running through friendships. It's running through churches. It's running everywhere. Just when you thought you had something established between somebody that you cared about, the devil will get right in between somebody that you thought you could trust and will throw something in there just to see how much that you're established. But if we don't learn to take all of our afflictions to the Father, we'll never get rid of every unclean thing that'll be in our life. We'll have all these attitudes. We'll have all these things that'll hold us back. They'll hinder us. They'll hold us back from being obedient. They'll keep us from being able to praise the Lord. They'll keep us from being fully obedient and submissive to what God would want us to do. They cried out together. And I think, Lord, if there's anything that we need to do, if we can't do anything else, I need to be able to get together with people that I know is suffering the same way that I do and simply say that I understand and that I want to cry out with you to Christ. Because it doesn't matter how high that we would esteem ourselves in our walk with God or how well in a place that we think that we are. There's going to be things to try to ruin your mind. There's going to be things to try to ruin your body. There's going to be things to try and defile your life. Jesus sent them and said, go show yourselves unto the priest. And in this bunch, there was 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan. And out of all that came back, there was 1 Samaritan that returned to Christ. And I find that to be so significant. Because in that time, the Jews, they didn't have the ability to come back and give reverence to another Jew. They didn't have the ability to come back to Jesus and give thanks for what he had done. So when they had the work performed in their life, they didn't return. The only one that was able to come back and give glory was a stranger, and even one that, as society would have said in that time, that they were bitter enemies. And I thank God, of course, when we think about it in reality, the flesh is definitely an enemy of the spirit and what it would try to do in our lives. Every time that God will raise you up to a wonderful place, you can guarantee that there's going to be something that's going to try to afflict you in your life. There's going to be tests that's going to try to see just how much that you're going to stand for the truth. Hallelujah. Help me out for a moment. There's going to be things that's going to try to help you along the way, the Spirit of God. And yet in ourselves we'll rage. Yet in ourselves we'll question. Yet in ourselves we'll get in doubt. And hardly won't be able, with our pride in our life, be able to turn back and give God glory when he does that great work. I want to be able to be as that stranger. I was a stranger in sin, and God delivered me. And I want to be able to always turn back to the Father who delivered me. I want to be able to run to him and be able to give him glory. I don't want any differences between my brothers and sisters. I definitely don't want to be different and cold to the Spirit when it would flow by my way. You're looking for signs and wonders when God's just calling out for you to cry out. Oh, and to give him glory. Jesus wondered where the other ones had went, but he already knew that there was ones that he wasn't going to get glory from. Those that already knew of him, he wasn't going to get that reverence from. Those that were already aware, we're getting too comfortable not being able to praise him. We're getting too comfortable not being able to rise up and worship the Heavenly Father. I would be lying if I said that I wasn't guilty also of sometimes falling short of where God wants me to be in worship. And I would also be lying if I didn't say that it sometimes is hard to break down my flesh in prayer each and every day of my life. But in my heart I know that is what God wants for me. God wants me to come back to him every day. He did a work far greater than what I could have done on my own. Far addicted to drugs that I could have ever let go of. Far in strongholds that I couldn't have got out of. But yet, he spoke that word in my life, spoke deliverance. And now today, I get up each day and am able to return back to him and give him glory. And though I feel sometimes as though I have leprosy, and though sometimes I feel like a stranger when you get across so much flesh, but the Spirit will rise up in you, and it'll give you a boldness, and you may be a stranger in a foreign land, even in a church house with a sign. You might be a stranger to those that are your friends, but you've got to return to the Father, for He, hallelujah, is your Savior. He's the one that's going to bring you out every day. Your present help in a time of trouble. And then we read about that being as low as leprosy. And who else can you think of that was in this kind of predicament? It says, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away, and he said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Now, we can get in such a place in our pride, but we don't feel like the prayer is necessary, or feel like that the word of God is necessary to reprove us, or feel like that it's necessary to come in and give God glory. But there's something about getting down in the muddy water. There's something about getting in, even though we don't feel like that we need to. There's something about pushing out and listening to the word of God, even though in ourselves we might feel wroth. And I know in my own heart sometimes I feel rough, but that's the flesh that's within me. That's the part of the battle that I have to work through every day. That's the part of me that when I begin to rise up in the morning, I have to say, God, this is your battle in my life. I cannot do this. And every time that I trust him with it, I'm able to come through. Listen, if you don't give it to God, you're not going to make it through. You're not going to handle this. God wants you to get down and go into the muddy waters tonight. He's wanting you to go through so that you're cleansed of every affliction, of every single thing that you're dealing with. The enemy has had such a strong hold on God's people, and he's looking. He sent a word even last week, and I'm telling you, I'm trying to get into that muddy water. I'm trying to rise up. I'm trying to heed to what God said. And though we might feel like it's too hard, or the devil will persuade us right out of our calling, God is greater. God is greater. Somebody preach that with me right now. God is greater. He is above all things. I feel it tonight. We might feel like that we're low. We might feel like that we're low esteem and great affliction. But if you just learn to get down in the water and dip down in there, hallelujah, he was a great person of power. He had armor on that covered that up. And you might feel like that you can cover it up for a little while. But those things that are bothering you are going to destroy you. It's going to tear you away. And God is just wanting you to be cleansed, wanting you to be free tonight. He wants you to be free from that trouble. I'm just going to be honest with you. I felt like the past few weeks that sometimes at my best, I'm just keeping my nose above the water. But Brian, if I can just keep breathing, if I can just take another step, obey God every way that I can, if I can just get one foot out in front of the other and not stop, if I can just keep the wheels turning, there's nothing that's going to hold us down. My point is tonight that God is calling. We've got to put our hand unto the plow and not look back. We've got to remember who we are tonight. Got to know what he's already spoken in our life. I'm not speaking anything new to you tonight. I'm encouraging you to remember everything that he's already put in there. Every good gift, every great calling, every good work, every great move of God that is living inside you, that's flowing inside you, that's the breath of life that's within you. But when we get highly esteemed and full of pride and get in that attitude that, oh Lord, I don't have to pray. I'm in a good place right now. It's when we get in trouble. It's when we really obtain our weakness far quicker than we ever wanted to. When you're in a state of weakness, the enemy can move in far quicker than if your heart was guarded. We've got to learn to heed even as Naaman did. He got down and he dipped 7 times. And I'm fighting with all that's in me to keep going. In low places, I call out for strength. In times of sadness, I call out for joy. In times when I'm confused, I seek God for wisdom. In times of weariness, He is my comfort. Guys, there's nothing that you cannot handle if you yield to what God is speaking unto you. If you yield to what He would speak into your life, it may seem silly. And it may put us in a place where we're lowered from where we are. But I would rather be in muddy water and be cleansed than to continue to wear armor and be a great chief and perish from my own sins. I would rather be willing to go and heed to what He says. Times are not going to get easier. I listen and I read and I watch all of the trouble that's around us. And I see how the God is trying to condition His people to be a people of prayer. And how the devil does not want us to be able to be in a state of faith where we can cry and get a hold of God. He wants us to be upset. He wants us to be discouraged. He wants us to throw out our faith. He wants us to throw out everything that we've ever known about the Word of God. He wants us just to not come back. He wants us to throw out everything that we know inside of our heart to be real and true. But God is encouraging you tonight to step out and do that which is called. There is a far greater work than just to settle for where we are. There is something ahead of us that's far greater than settling for toiling in our mind all the time and being in torment continually. God is raising you up to get out and be able to get down in the water, to be so humble that you'll be willing to get down in there with anybody that needs help and help them. We think that we have it rough. I watched that documentary on the tsunami in Japan. It's the year anniversary of that. It's hard to believe that's already been a year. And you see just how that the hand of God, how quick things can change in life. And you listen to some of these people talking. They said, I didn't think that the water would get that close to me. I thought that I had more time. And they said, I stood by my house and thought, oh, it'll be okay. And then they said, I watched it be washed away. We read all through the Word of God about how these things would begin to come to pass. And we study these things and we wonder, Lord, where are you at in the midst of all of it? But God is ready for us to be a people that's going to cry out. And I close out with this tonight, and I read this to you tonight, and my heart just goes out to you. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking of evil of you. In other words, the crowd that you used to run around, the ones that make fun of you when you change your life for God. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Don't be surprised when it comes along, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. We got one of two ways that we can handle this. I can handle it, try to do it myself, or I can go out of here and handle it with His exceeding joy. We've had more than enough of God's provision that's open and ready to receive us tonight if we just be willing to cry out. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit and glory of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. We'll go on and read this last part. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. I'll leave you with this tonight. I don't know what you're going to go through in days ahead. I don't know the next time I'll get to preach again. But this I do know tonight. If you cling each day to God, and if you sincerely surrender your life in prayer and give Him every problem, every trial, and surrender all that you're dealing with, there's nothing that you cannot handle. There will not be any situation that you will not be prepared for. And you will be able to go through life with that joy of the Lord. And as you stand with that joy of the Lord, there'll be others around you that'll be drawn by that witness in your life. God is looking for us not to be, as Naaman was, in high esteem and think that we're going to go through it and do it. But He wants us to be willing to be humble and get down and call out and be a humble people. And to be sincere and to cry out and have no dignity and have no anything stand in the way to be able to call out to someone with leprosy even. To have that much trust to be able to come forward to God and say, Lord, you see as much trouble as I'm in, even if the world would condemn me, Lord, I can come to you and you're going to help me, and I believe that. There's not a time that I've been in my life where God has not been my refuge. Not been a time in my life that I believe with all my heart that I'm going to go through, that God is not going to be there. There's been times when I felt like that I'd truly fallen, but I felt as I prayed the comfort of His hand beneath me. There's been times when I felt like I truly was hurt, but I felt His shield in front of me. Understand this tonight. The devil is raging about us, and I'm concerned for you, and I'm just trying to get it on your mind and in your heart to be aware of what's going on. I want you to be aware in the days ahead of you, to be praying and to have your eyes open to what God is trying to say to you. Be willing to get down and spend time with Him. Be willing to read. Be willing to pray. Be willing to do whatever it takes to be low before Him. Don't let life draw you away from where God is wanting to take you. Don't let anything steal the joy of your salvation. Don't let anything steal your ability to worship Him. Let your life be fulfilled in joy through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let your life be fulfilled in joy through the Holy Ghost. Don't let anything hinder you. Don't let me hinder you. Don't let anybody around you hinder you. Be able to rise up and obey God. Be able to follow what the Spirit thus saith unto you. Be able to speak and be a voice unto Him. Be able to go forward and not back. Hang on unto what God is saying. Do not let go of the promises. All the times that He's been there, don't let go of it. Don't be in despair. Don't let go. I'm hanging on to you in prayer. I've been praying. I've been hanging on. I'm not letting go of another. I'm not letting anybody get through my grasp. But God is going to bring us through everything that we're going through. And I'm praying that more will come in our path. But we've got to be ready. We've got to be that humble people.